clutch.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States,
of America, and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice
for all. Okay, great. Thank you. First order of business is the minutes from the April 8th meeting. Do I have a motion?
Bessup's going to make a motion to accept the April 8th minutes.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have Ed Jessup making the motion and Richie Ryan seconding. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Carried. Thank you. Next agenda item is the related to the Lake Ridge rezoning.
Excuse me, for recreation.
I'm sorry?
Recreation report.
Oh, the March
revenues.
I don't have that, but okay.
I'll make that motion that the March recreation total for $4,228 be accepted.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Christine, you got that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Next up is the Lake Ridge rezoning. In your package, you should have a resolution of introduction, and I want a motion for that resolution as well as scheduling the public hearing for June 10th. Let me make a note at this time. This is anticipating that by June 10th, we will be able to have an actual public hearing in the town hall with people here. If it turns out that is not the case between now and then, as everybody knows, there's a May 15th deadline sitting on the governor's notices right now. If for some reason that gets extended and gets extended beyond that date and we won't be able to have a public hearing, then we'll have to evaluate and we'll almost certainly reschedule this beyond that time. So do I have a motion for that resolution of introduction and setting the public hearing for June 10th?
I'll motion that.
I'm going to go with Richie made the motion and Ed Jessup seconded it.
Yes, I got that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Carried. Next up, similarly, we have a resolution of introduction and a reschedule of the public hearing for the outdoor recreation use for June 10th. Do I have a motion? That sounds like Gary Bayright. Do I have a second?
Second.
Joe Luna is the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Carried. Thank you. Yep.
Before we move on to another agenda, did you just want to go over the rec thing to have a brief discussion on it?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay. My only request is that we move the 15 acres up to 50 acres. I realize it requires a special permit, but we might be able to avoid some developers spending a lot of time and money by increasing the size of the acreage to 50. I know 50? It's a special permit, but you know, that's what I feel that we should have as far as the acreage.
Excuse me, Councilman Jessup, you said we'll raise it from 15 to 50?
50, that's correct.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And I'd like to mention too on motorized bicycles, I got calls on people that walk the trails and everything, and they'd like to see no motorized vehicles, electric or anything, because the way the trails are windy and everything, they're worried about getting run over.
Okay, now that's a different issue, and I'll point out why. Those trails are not technically a commercial operation, which is what this is aimed at. So that is a different issue because this wouldn't have any effect on that, not because it wouldn't apply here. I'm just saying that that wouldn't necessarily fix their complaint. How does everybody feel about the 50 acres?
I think the 50 acres is a little high. How many 50-acre parcels we have left? There's just like four farms left in the Grange.
My reason for advocating the 50 acres is I think we can avoid a lot of applicants going to the planning board and it being a special permit, then being told after they spend thousands of dollars on engineering fees, that it's just not feasible. And also, too, most of the recreation law is going to apply probably to soccer or lacrosse, and I don't think there's adequate parking along the road. I think the 50 acres might cover that, because I've looked at Stringham and seen thousands of cars there on a soccer tournament. So that's my reason for the 50 acres.
Yeah, well, I think I leave it up to the contractor should have enough sense to know that he can't put a soccer field and parking in 15 acres. It's something smaller that they could work with. If they want to put up a tennis court.
The example I'm thinking that might be feasible on a smaller parcel, Ed, is CrossFit kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. Yep.
So that might work on a smaller parcel. That's kind of the nature of the special permit, but I know what you're saying too. Trying to crowd the wrong thing on the wrong size parcel is what's going to create all the controversy on this thing.
Right. And also to the applicant spending money on engineering and everything else.
I understand that. That's one.
And then come back at the end and say that it doesn't meet the 6 criteria of the special permit. It's just a way, I think, of avoiding unnecessary work on both parts.
Setbacks and everything else.
But isn't that merely the job of the planner who tells them that this project isn't going to work? So maybe you don't want to do
it? Yeah, but the 15 acres, I don't think would work at all.
You mean for anything?
Not.
So if I wanted to put up tennis courts on 15 acres, and I'll have enough for parking, I can't do that?
But most tennis courts usually are now going with indoor domes too.
And what does that mean?
They can play all year round. They're not outdoor tennis courts.
No, what he's saying is it wouldn't be outdoor recreation. It would be something else.
Right.
It doesn't have to be outdoor. So if you have a tennis court, whether it's indoors, outdoors, you could have both.
No, Joe, the point is this is outdoor recreation. So that would be a different classification in the zoning law than this, I think is his point. Let's give it some thought.
Yeah.
Whether 50 or 15 is appropriate, or maybe something in between.
Can I have a clarification? Because if we're setting the public hearing, maybe Jerry Kamanos could guide us. Is that going to change the notification for this?
No, because the proposal and the notification is the way it is. There's nothing to prevent us at the public hearing from debating this and changing
exactly
what it is we ultimately end up passing.
Excuse me, isn't this an amendment to the present plan? It's not changing the whole law. It's just an amendment.
Correct. That's correct. And all we're doing is scheduling the public hearing. There's nothing to interfere with us at the public hearing discussing this issue, changing that number to whatever we choose before we adopt it.
And then at that point, we'd have to recirculate?
I don't think so. We're proposing the change. There's a discussion. I don't think we have to recirculate every time we debate what is going on within that law. I don't think that's my understanding.
I agree.
Okay, thank you.
I think we're okay. So let's give it some thought, guys. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at some of the parcels in the town that we've had people express interest in the past, and just see what their sizes are to see whether how that fits as well.
I think the most recent one, Alan, that has come up is the Secor Farm.
Yeah, I'm sure that's well over 50, though.
Yeah, I think that's over 100.
It is.
Yeah, I'm sure that's big enough. There was some talk a few years ago with the farm that's right on 82 across from where the Agway is.
Oh, the Hitzman farm.
Yeah, and they were talking about potentially having some CrossFit thing or something. And I don't know how big that farm is, so I want to take a look at that.
Sounds good.
But I'll let you know. What's that, Joe?
I thought he was on both sides of the road.
That is one of those odd parcels where the 82 goes right through the middle of the parcel.
Yeah.
So my guess is that's well over 50 as well.
Yes.
I think on both sides.
So So let me just check into that stuff and give it some thought, guys. It doesn't, it could be 15, it could be 50, it could be 30. We could, you know, let's just give it some thought.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Next.
Did we set the public hearing?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
All right. Next on the agenda is the Titusville sewer agreement.
We just need a motion for you to
execute. Just need a motion for me to sign the agreement with.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that. Joe made the motion. Gary seconded it. Do I all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carried. Next up is an interesting little item, folks. The LaGrange Council of the Knights of Columbus is requesting to use two things. They're requesting to use the field adjacent to the town hall for their annual family carnival, but they're also requesting that they be allowed to have a beer and wine tent. My personal view is I don't have a concern with a beer and wine tent, but I'm not at all convinced that that kind of a gathering on June 24th through the 27th is realistic.
Well, they sent that in before all this happened, yeah. And they're thinking of postponing it till the end of August.
Okay. Yeah, that seems like a sensible thing.
Give them approval, I can always adjust the date and another meeting.
I that's an excellent idea. I would suggest that what we vote on is approving them using the adjacent property and the being able to have the beer and wine tent with the date being subject to guidelines that comes out of the governor's office.
Okay, I'll write it that way.
Then I'll make that motion.
Yes, I'll second.
Ed Jessup will second Joe Luna's motion.
I think I got Richie a second.
I do too. It's Joe made the motion, Richie seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Carry. Do we have anything from the committees? Do we have anything from CAC?
No.
Anything from Highway?
No.
Anything from Business and Economic Development?
No. I'm sorry.
Anything from Recreation?
No.
Anything from Open Space?
No.
I'll make a mention on Recreation. Communicating with Sandy, we've decided that it's not prudent at all to consider having the community day in June. So we're looking at announcing that we're moving that and rescheduling it for sometime in September. We are going to refund the money from all of the people who gave contributions, leaving open the opportunity for them to give it back to us for the September thing, but we're not. I think that's going to vary depending on the health of the sponsors. My feeling is that this event is important to the community this year more than probably any other one. And if we get some of those sponsors to sponsor and some not to, I think the town should pony up the remainder of the money to make sure this event takes place this year, because I think having an event that gathers the community together in September after this is hopefully well all over is an important event. In any event, we're announcing that we're canceling it and moving it to September. The date that was picked in September is because we had a cancellation on that weekend from somebody else who already has scheduled. So we kind of jumped on the opportunity and scheduled it. It's the weekend of the 19th, 20th.
The 20th?
19th, 20th, whatever weekend that is.
All right, I'll look it up.
Yeah, I think the 19th is a Friday, so the 20th is Saturday, so okay. It would probably be the 20th. Just wanted to mention that.
Are you looking for a motion, Alan?
No, we don't need to do that at all. Thanks.
Okay. Are you looking for a motion if we don't get the sponsors for the town to?
Yeah, all right.
Well, why don't you wait till it's closer?
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that when it becomes closer. I agree.
Once you get a gauge as to how many people want their money
back. Right. We'll have some idea. You're right, because we have to know how much money we're talking about. So that's a good point, Joe.
I'll make a note.
Okay, thank you. Any town board comments? Anything from the town attorney?
No.
I have one thing I want to bring up. I'll give you an update on how things are going in the building. The space for the what we are referring to as the old yellow room is almost completely done. The public works area is complete. The furniture is moved in and things are complete there. We're almost completely done with recreation and that's underway. I have two proposals from our workers to make the updates to the assessor's office that we've been talking about, as well as the updates to upstairs, the old rec office, to put in office space and meeting rooms for the court. The estimates I've got for those are $9,280 and $3,530 respectively. So we're still working about around $12,810. I'd like to get approval to move forward with those renovations while the building is empty. It's really the best way to do all this work. I see a hand from Joe. I think he's making that motion. Do I have a second?
Wait. You want the board to approve renovations up to $12,810?
Let's make it up to $15,000 because of the estimates.
Okay.
Joe made the motion. Alan and Jessup will second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
I didn't hear who made the first motion. Okay.
Ed, thank you. Joe made the motion. Ed seconded. We all voted unanimously on it. Is there anything else from any other board members?
No.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Well, are you going to open to the public?
We could do that.
I make a motion to open to the public.
I'll second it.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any comments from the public?
Dieter Lucas here from Skidmore Road.
Hey, Dieter.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Who'd have thunk this, huh? This is pretty...
This is fantastic, isn't it?
Yes. So, question for you guys. The planning board, the decision on the cell tower, just wondering, you know, what your thoughts are. Did you think they came up with a good conclusion? And I was wondering if there's any chance to do sort of an after-actions report to see what went right and what went wrong.
My take on the planning board taking the action that they did is that I don't want to offer an opinion on whether what they did is right or wrong. I will explain, I think, what the rationale behind it, as far as I know, is. As I'm sure you're aware, that the cell tower on Maloney Road required a variance in order to approve the blinking light on the top of it. The Zoning Board of Appeals turned that request down, and Verizon has sued us in federal court as that being a violation of federal relevant regulations. The thinking and advice by the attorney for the planning board was that if the planning board takes no action at all, and pending the ZBA's case in federal court, there's a possibility that the federal judge will decide in favor of both granting the variance as well as granting the permit, which would remove any flexibility whatsoever on the planning board's part for having any kind of input into the kinds of screening and things that might take place on the site plan. And so they decided that it was prudent for them to proceed with those discussions with the understanding that they can't approve the permit until some resolution of the variance takes place. And the implication of that is that if the federal court turns down Verizon's appeal and says that the ZBA's refusal of the variance is valid, then the planning board would be unable to grant permission because they can't do it without the variance. But if the federal court grants the variance, then that puts the planning board in the position of considering the application with all those conditions that it's placed on it. And it just puts us in a position of having somewhat more leverage over that permit application than it would if we didn't do that. That's my understanding of the rationale behind it. Again, I'm not going to offer an opinion on whether the planning board made a good or bad decision about that,
I guess,
or the ZBA for that matter.
Yeah, I was talking more of the Rossway Road, the bell tower up on Rossway.
Okay, then you're going to have to refresh my memory on what the last thing that the planning board did with that, because I thought that application had kind of...
It was unanimously approved.
But it's pending some kind of determination at a bank or something, right?
I was actually not able to attend that meeting, but my understanding is that our attorney waived that, that they can proceed.
My understanding, well, I don't know then. I guess I don't know. My understanding is there was some very serious concern about whether the people who had signed the lease agreement for the tower actually had the legal authority to do so. And that needed to be resolved before anything could actually be finalized. That's my understanding.
And to me, that's all, you know, pertinent stuff. But my concern, you know, we tried to do everything like, you know, you sort of suggested. Went out, we got a petition, we had 70 plus people. The only reason we didn't get more people because we got tired knocking on doors, but everybody we went to wanted our planning board to look into alternatives. And when we presented a lot of information to the planning board, and you know, the last meeting I went to, kind of thinking that we're going to get some questions back and forth, the only question I got was, is the fence going to have vinyl on it? My jaw just sort of dropped. I feel like our expert, our engineer, really wasn't participating or coming up with possible alternatives. It was just sort of, they won some game total. We basically got no concession. And the reason that this is important is because this particular area of town, the northeast section of town, is in the master plan of the town, this area was meant to stay rural, right? The zoning is the highest in all the town. We've got a ridgeline. That law is, all this is substantial evidence, which is what you would need to go to court. I don't know Maloney Road, what substantial evidence we can provide to win there. But we actually do have a lot of substantial evidence. The town invested a lot of money preserving land in our area. A lot of homeowners put their land into conservancy. We've got the town park. We've got Taconic Hereford. There's so much substantial evidence to actually turn this down and have them locate on that power line. And they come back and say, you know, the power line, it's, you know, even our own engineer report, if you look at the actual diagrams, the coverage is such a small area. And the difference between what they want and the locating on the power line seems pretty insignificant. But this is something I really would like to discuss with an engineer. And I don't know, maybe the planning board did all this. But we, the public, and the people I've been talking to are asking me, we have no idea what was asked. We have no idea. Did they look at multiple towers? Did they look at other alternatives? And was our engineer ever asked to say, even Verizon, what if this property wasn't available? How else could you make this coverage this without going on a ridgeline, where we have substantial evidence, which is important in court? Did I cut out?
Nope,
you're good. No, you were good. We heard all that.
It was a bit of a ramble, but it's just sort of, it just doesn't seem like due diligence was done. And, you know, I think, I don't blame the planning board. I mean, it's very complicated. And, you know, I talked to the two administrators that were overseeing them, and both of them say, look, I'm not an RF engineer. I don't really know. And I'm not either, but I do know questions you can ask to find out what alternatives are worth. I don't feel like those questions were asked.
As I recall, the main issue was whether one of the power towers could be used as an alternative siting location. And as I said, I don't know what the planning board determined with respect to that. I can certainly look into that and ask for you, Dieter, to find out what ultimately the planning board and or our engineer determined about the feasibility of that site. But I understand that was kind of the main question, is whether that site could be used as an alternate location. I don't know the answer off the top of my head, But I can certainly ask what happened with that.
Yeah, and you know, like I say, yes. Go, Joe.
Did you look through the minutes of all those meetings?
The minutes, yeah. You know what I haven't done? I haven't FOIA'd the questions and answers because the minutes really don't really say much. As far as all, we've asked so many questions, and maybe those were answered in, and they were supposedly answered in writing.
Okay, that's possible.
But they didn't go over them. You know, we didn't get access to that, so I don't know.
I will say this. The other piece that could be missing from all of that is the process requires that the applicant answer questions or answer concerns from the public in writing. But if the planning board also got advice from our engineer on with respect to that, that wouldn't necessarily have made its way into that record. That's why I said I'd ask. Because I'm not sure whether that would that wouldn't necessarily be required because the response comes from the applicant, and yeah. It wouldn't necessarily have made it into the minutes if it was presented in some, you know, written form or something. I'll find out about that, Peter.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, it just seems, my last note, it just seems like LaGrange, you know, from way back when the Red Ring Tower, you know, they basically told us they don't do camouflage towers in our town, but they do it in other towns. And the question we ask, you know, as citizens is why don't they do it in our town? And, you know, I think it's because they are able to take advantage of our planning board. I really feel like, you know, this attorney, he's a nice guy. He's a good showman. He's well paid. And, you know, it's David and Goliath.
Okay.
No. All right, guys. Thank you.
Anything else from the public? Do I have a motion to close?
And Jessup will make the motion to close.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Gary seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Ed Jessup will make the motion.
I'll second it.
Richie seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Carried. All right. Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Be safe.
Good night. You too.
Oh, here.
See you, Richie. See you, guys.
Good one, bud.
Pretty good.